As the latest wave of the COVID-19 pandemic begins to plateau, much of New England is on the leading edge of recovery. Unfortunately, there's one notable exception. That's Western Massachusetts, which has some of the state's highest infection rates and vaccination rates only a little higher than the national average. This is And Another Thing. I'm Maya Schwader.
And I'm Dara Kennedy. The city in Massachusetts with the highest rate of COVID-19 infections is Springfield, and that's where health officials are again requiring face coverings inside and sometimes even outside. They've used many tactics to try to persuade more residents to get vaccinated, but the numbers aren't promising. We spoke with Springfield Health and Human Services Commissioner Helen Calton Harris.
The contributing factors certainly for the high infection has to do with our low vaccination rates. When we look at last week or the previous week, there were 886 cases in the city of Springfield. This past week, there were 510. So we did go down 42.4%. So what contributes to the high case rate? What we saw last week was in the 0 to 10-year-old age category. There were 199 cases. In the 11 to 20-year-old age category last week, there were 163. We know that 0 to 10 cannot be vaccinated because there's no vaccination. And also in the 11 to 20-year-old, a good number of those individuals are not eligible for vaccination. So that is a part of our challenge. This week, 86% of our cases were under the age of 50. Also, we saw that under the age of 30, there were 58% of our cases. So what we're dealing with is a group that is unvaccinated, as well as those younger people who have not yet taken advantage of a COVID-19 vaccination.
What is Springfield's marketing plan to reach those that are of age and urge them to go out and protect themselves and their families?
We have VaxForce, which is a group of individuals who are from the medical field and the community who are working with us to make recommendations. Very recently, we announced our youth VaxForce, and that will be younger people under the age of 35 we will be targeting. We continue to have vaccination clinics across the city, so vaccines are accessible. The vaccination hesitancy, the vaccination resistance is certainly something that we are dealing with across the city of Springfield.
Mayor Sarno has congratulated you on your efforts throughout the entire pandemic over the last 18 months and saying that you are the Dr. Fauci of Springfield. What did he mean by that?
I am very appreciative of the mayor's confidence. I am the face often, provide the leadership often, but I certainly understand that certainly is an effort that includes a lot of organizations and agencies.
Well, one thing that Dr. Fauci has had to do on a national level is bring different communities together, diverse communities, people of color, older people, younger people. How are you targeting that in Springfield specifically, as it is such a diverse community of ethnicities?
Every Thursday here at the Department of Health and Human Services, we have a meeting with all of our outreach partners. And so we work together to strategize around best practices and what is working and what we can do better to reach the hard-to-reach populations in the city.
What town or city do you think is doing well to combat the misinformation and disinformation around vaccinations?
There is no city, no town that is working harder than the city of Springfield. I can assure you that. So while I look to those other cities and towns and I can compliment their efforts, they are doing nothing different than we are in the city. There are some members of our community we will never convince to get vaccinated, but we need to target those hesitant individuals and let them know that vaccinations do work.
What was the basis for the formation of the Springfield VaxForce?
VaxForce really brought together trusted voices who are community members that we know are trusted voices, also operationalizing our clinics. So it was important as we launched our clinics to have those voices involved who were trusted, who were credible, and who were sincere in their effort to serve the residents of the city of Springfield.
We're speaking with Springfield Health and Human Services Commissioner Helen Calton Harris. Commissioner Harris, I have a question on your mask mandate. Not everyone is in favor of that, but your office has implemented a temporary citywide mandate in response to the uptick in COVID cases. When might that mandate be rescinded?
It is in place until November the 1st, or until our cases go to a level where we're comfortable rescinding that.
And if we talk about the vaccination process for the younger kids, when parents ask you if their child should be vaccinated, what kind of proof or data are you providing them to make them feel comfortable with that decision?
Currently, the city of Springfield and Springfield Public Schools are working with the Big Y as our vaccination partner. We are holding clinics across the city in specific schools. We just had one at Central, and so we are encouraging parents to get those permission slips in so we can vaccinate certainly the younger population and those in Springfield Public Schools. The vaccination, we believe, is the way that we should proceed as far as our children are concerned and making sure we're no longer needing to wear these face coverings and we're all able to get to a level where we can gather together without worrying about COVID infection.
This virus has opened our eyes to some of the groups of Americans that are overlooked. What's the plan for your office to help the homeless and those that are unhoused also receive the care that they need for vaccinations?
Early in the pandemic, we built a COVID-19 facility across the street from Friends of the Homeless, which is on Worthington Street in Springfield, to take care of our homeless population. And so the city from the very beginning of this pandemic has cared about our homeless population and has made an effort to do that outreach through our health center, as well as the facility that we built. But I must say that the homeless population in the city of Springfield, in terms of COVID-19 infection, is very low. We thought when we started this journey that we were going to see what was seen in other parts of the state, which was a high rate amongst the homeless population. That has not come to fruition.
Lastly, Commissioner, what do you say to people that are suffering from COVID fatigue?
COVID fatigue is real. I certainly am suffering with COVID fatigue. We are tired. It has been 18 months that we have been in this struggle, on this journey. And so I certainly understand the fatigue that we are all feeling. However, I would say that the way out is really for us to work together. We have the power to end this pandemic in this nation and certainly in the city of Springfield.
Springfield Health and Human Services Commissioner Helen Calton Harris, thank you so much for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
The latest fourth wave of the pandemic is straining medical staffs at clinics and hospitals throughout the region. To learn more about just what that looks like on the ground, we spoke with infectious disease expert Dr. Andrew Artenstein. He's the chief physician executive and chief academic officer for the Springfield-based Bay State Health and a professor of medicine for the University of Massachusetts. He told us that we're still in some dire straits.
We're deeply into this fourth Delta wave. As it happens, we've reached a bit of a plateau. We were down about 30% from 3 weeks ago, which was really bad. But to be honest with you, I have some concerns based on two things. School starting a few weeks back and kids not being vaccinated because they're not eligible yet. And then there's the Big E in Western Mass, which is a 2.5 week, essentially a massive. And so there's grave concerns that that could sort of reignite our fourth wave.
I want to come back to that, but how does that shape up compared to elsewhere in the country right now?
Well, we in Western Mass, we look a lot like portions of the lower Midwest and the Deep South looked several weeks back. So we're a little bit, and not as bad. I don't mean to sound alarmist. We're not at that level where we're having that level of death and that level of severity, simply because the Northeast has been hit three other times in the last 18 months. But compared to the rest of the Northeast, Western Mass, especially the state of Massachusetts, Western Mass looks a lot closer to those other areas of the country than they do to the Northeast, because we're in the least vaccinated county and region in the state. So
there was some positive news over the weekend about a decline in the rate of deaths from COVID, at least in some of the vaccinated parts of the country. What does that rate look like here?
The rate of death is lower here than it certainly was in the big first two waves, simply because of that. There's some cross immunity from it, some level of vaccination, and most of our elderly people are vaccinated. So that's the good news. Most people over the age of 65, even in our region, have been fully vaccinated. And so that's protective, because those folks tend to have more other medical problems that can lead to more severe COVID and death. So we've been spared some of that. On the other hand, we've seen some youngsters, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, and late 30s with very severe disease. Not as many cases as we had in the first wave a year and a half ago, but enough to remind us this is a serious illness.
Earlier this year, you were quoted saying that you were watching and waiting to see if the wave of the pandemic was cresting. What do we need to do to avoid a possible fifth wave?
That's a great question. And I think the fifth wave will depend on a couple of things. One is whether there's enough immunity in the population, and that's a combination of natural immunity from people who've been infected with the virus plus vaccine-induced immunity. If you add those two numbers together, you get a certain amount level of immunity. And when there's enough immunity in the population, the virus has nowhere to go. Viruses survive by moving from person to person. As soon as it can't be transmitted from person to person because there's enough protection out there, then it stops. And I think we're probably on the cusp of whether or not we're going to see any kind of fifth wave. What I worry about is children in Western Mass, because they haven't been vaccinated yet. I'm talking about school-aged young children. And even though they may not get that sick sometimes because they're children and they tend to be resilient, they can transmit the virus to their loved ones inadvertently. And then you set off new chains. So I worry about children, and I also worry about some of these spreader events that we've talked about. I think that we're in pretty good shape. If you asked me a year and a half ago, I would have said it's about 18 months away, and we're 18 months into it now. I think we probably have another 3 to 6 months before we can start to see normal, but we'll be getting better during that time. The one caveat I'll tell you is if this virus has shown an ability to shape shift and change, and these different strains, and that's normal for these types of viruses, that could be a monkey wrench. If the virus changes in such a way that it doesn't recognize the immunity we have, then there could be additional problems to come this winter.
Early in the pandemic, there was a big problem reported with hospitals trying to get proper equipment, proper protective gear for their staff. You yourself had a bit of an adventure trying to get some of that for your hospital. You ended up in a warehouse being questioned by the FBI. How do things stand in hospitals right now?
It's a good question. I can speak what the PPE situation. We're in a much better place, the big we, all of us, than we were certainly at the beginning. I think there are areas of the country that are probably suffering a little bit more than others, such as the hard hit Deep South and things like that. But PPE generally looks like it's better. We've bounced back. Certainly hospital bed capacity in areas that are stretched, like Idaho was last week and probably still is, and Alaska. And if you looked at the deep south not that long ago, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, you know, where they were talking about rationing care and not being able to, not having the capacity to care for patients with other diseases, never mind COVID. That's going to be based on where the hardest hit areas. But overall, our PPE situation is better. Our ventilator situation is better. As far as I know, our drug supply is better. Our vaccine seems like it's in a decent place. But if you look around the country, the healthcare staffing crisis is a crisis nationally. And it's not just doctors and nurses. It's all aspects of healthcare staff, from people who clean rooms to people who man the telephones, to people who help doctors and nurses, clinical support people. We are absolutely strapped. And when it comes to behavioral health professionals of all sorts, nationally, it's an all-out catastrophe, frankly.
Dr. Andrew Artenstein of Bay State Health, thank you so much for spending time with us, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks for having me.
You can join the And Another Thing conversation across social media. Find us at AAT on NEPM. Just ahead, the many ways people around the area are reacting to the latest wave and rules of the pandemic. You're listening to And Another Thing. Stay with us.
This is And Another Thing. I'm Maya Schwader.
And I'm Derek Kennedy. The fall resurgence in COVID-19 has left many people in Western New England a little unsure of how cautious they need to be, and also unsure of what precautions to take. Here are the thoughts of a few people who were enjoying time outdoors with others over the weekend at the Big E in West Springfield.
It's like getting out of jail to enjoy myself. Yeah, to see other people enjoying themselves. I'm over it, fully vaccinated, so keep the party going.
There'll always be risks in life. I'm a nurse, so I worked through COVID, the first wave, and it's just nice to be able to have a life again, especially being in healthcare. I saw the worst of it all, so it's nice to be able to experience this with my friends and family again. And it's all about your comfort level. I don't disrespect anyone who chooses to wear a mask constantly, and I don't disrespect anyone who doesn't choose to get the vaccine or wear a mask. It's all about your comfort level.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I lost my smell and taste for a couple days, but I was able to just rest, fight through it. The rest with our household, we all got it, but we all got over it within a week or so. I think at this point in time, it's been a bit much. I mean, initially, no one really knew how bad it was going to be, how fatal it might be. But I think, you know, we're pushing 2 years now of really knowing about it and it being out there. I don't think it's as bad as they want us to believe it is. It's more of like a seasonal flu.
I'm trying to just be extra cautious. So even with maintaining social distance, I still keep it on. You know, I do notice when people are not taking the necessary precautions to keep other people safe, but I can't let it dictate my life. Usually when I go out, it's outdoor events, never really indoor events.
I wear a mask anywhere I go in public, just because I don't know who's vaccinated, who's not, who's doing what, where they've been. I'm very careful around the people I work with. I'm not as so worried about myself as I am the people around me. I still carry out the 6 feet rule. I try to keep my distance. I try to disinfect when I can. I try to wear a mask when I can. The virus won't mutate as much. It won't have as many hosts to go to and mutate to create more deadly variants if we all get vaccinated. We obviously know that not everybody's going to get vaccinated, so we have that area to deal with. You can't change someone's decision-making. You can't change someone's ideology. You can't change how they do something. You can have a discussion with them, and they can either retain it or not.
I just want to be normal and free again. And I just think it's a control issue. I mean, I firmly believe that it's just out of control with the politics, and it's being used to control. I think people have lost their common sense. I think they're afraid To me, it's like they're being mass hypnotized.
People are allowed to make their own decisions, and it's their right to make their decisions the way they want. I mean, if people who are willing to get back to quote-unquote normal and doing things in a normal way, if they're willing, if they want to get back to that, there are some things that we have to, as a whole, do to, you know, solidify the safety of everybody else.
I'm sorry, but I just feel very strongly that it's coming down to control. To me, it reminds me of Nazi Germany. You've got your papers. Oh, you must be Jewish if you don't have your papers. It scares me because I think people have lost their common sense. They're just blindly doing what they're told, and they're not thinking about it.
That was Teresa Premier of Bridgeport, Connecticut, Liz Kelly of Burlington, Connecticut, Mike Sakowicz of Holyoke, Jackie Price of Bridgeport, Connecticut, Jordan Croce of Medway, and Tom Sakowicz of Holyoke.
And you can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at AAT on NEPM.
And another thing is for you, whether you call, write, tweet, or post, we want to hear from you.
And of course, there's always email. Reach us at andanotherthing@nepm.org.
Or visit our website at nepm.org. This has been And Another Thing. I'm Maya Schwader.
And I'm Dara Kennedy. Thanks for joining us.